Welcome to this wonderful event today that we have in Madrid. This is one very nicely organized SharePoint Saturday, and we have a very nice audience. So now, after lunch, when we are all digesting the food, I will talk about the SharePoint upgrade strategy and how to execute the SharePoint upgrade strategy and ensure the business continuity. That means that you have no interruptions in your business during this planning, execution, and let's say maintenance phase at the end. So let me first introduce myself. My name is Tom Tomowski. I work for KPMG Germany in Berlin, specifically as an architect, enterprise solutions architect on a SharePoint projects. We are currently carrying out a huge migration project from 2013 to 2016 with about 350 servers. So now I will share my experience and the best practice that we have encountered during this process. It is still ongoing, so you can interrupt me at any time with any questions you might have, because so far I think that I've seen all problems that we have encountered. My Twitter account is Titomovsky, and if you like, you can join my LinkedIn profile and add me. I will add this presentation there, and it's already available on Channel 9 online. Also, at the same time, I am a Microsoft certified trainer, so I do also trainings. So, if you don't know this already, this is the password for the wireless connection, which will allow you network. Good connection, actually, here for some funny reason. Conferences are usually crowded, so this is perfect. And now let me start with these pre-steps for upgrade process in SharePoint. So we will cover now step by step of a simpler scenario that what I have worked on. So let's see what you need to do first. First, you need to consider always the planning. And I will tell you in one slide why you need to consider the planning first. Then you evaluate and see what are the upgrade paths, and that upgrade paths means you're transferring, converting the content from 2013 to 2016 on-premise solutions, so you follow up the upgrade strategy and converting, retouching, detaching databases or migrating service applications. We have step-by-step for that. And I will cover also one another segment here that is very important, and that covers the best practices that many people are wondering what are those best practices. Nobody usually knows or follows them, so I will share them this now from experience. And the good thing is that migration for 2013 to 2016 is very easy. So you will have a seamless transition if you don't have hugely crazy customized coded solutions and workflows and anything that will require a lot of effort to recompile, let's say, redo, restructure your solutions. So now we will do some SharePoint Kung Fu or Wushu or whatever martial art is covered here before going to the demo. So we are still not done. This is one very important slide and one very important sentence. So if you fail to plan this migration project, whatever the size it might be, you're actually planning to fail this. So planning actually takes time. So you can add this planning, because there are also young professionals, senior professionals here who work with Microsoft SharePoint. So in any case, take some time to plan this, document this planning, evaluate what you currently have and what will you have in the new platform, and then start to execute the migration steps. This is one scenario that is presented in a wonderful fairy tale world in SharePoint, which usually is, I have not seen it yet. But the educational background on this, let's say, how it should be done by the book, by the process defined from Microsoft, is that you learn your environment, you evaluate what you currently have in your environment, on-premise environment, then you prepare the tools and the strategy that you need to execute this upgrade strategy, you test that, usually on 1, 2, 3 servers, small environment. It's a proof of concept solution usually. For that you need SharePoint server, you need database server for the content and maybe domain controller. That's how my lab environment demo is set up. Then you implement, if the results from this proof of concept is successful, then you start implementing in a real project. And after everything is done, you validate. Validate means you try and see if you have the expected results at the end. what are the expected results in SharePoint, usually if the SharePoint farm works, and you can access the applications, websites. And one more thing to validate, actually, if you have the content in the sites. That's also very important to know. So aside this wonderful example, and that you will mostly never see, this is the real-world example, what you actually need to do, and this is these are tasks for developers and IT professionals, means SharePoint administrators, and the whole support team that covers this SharePoint use cases in the companies, let's say. So you first create your farm inventory. The farm inventory you can find on the right side here in the boxes, in the tiles, as Microsoft knows them or defines them. But however, we have two parts here now, the infrastructure part with the platform in mind, what we need to support this new farm, and how are we going to do it, because if you have an old farm with a lot of servers and you have a new farm with a lot of servers, then you must consider the maintenance cost of maintaining those two farms, and that's a problem. The hardware is part of that, and the platform software. The platform software means the applications that you are developing, let's say, or everything supporting your farm environment. You might use third-party tools, you might use property packs, you might use any customizations to SharePoint that are not part of your actual solutions, but part of the farm configuration. So you must make a list of that. Software dependencies. One dependency that we currently had is the updated and end-of-life .NET version 4.5. So that's out of date now. It's not supported by Microsoft anymore. So remember to upgrade all your solutions to at least 4.6. 4.6 is determined by the server's life cycle. So that's one very strict consideration, because if you don't like patching security, then it's fine. Developer components, what is in the focus of every project, you should see the customizations. Customizations in terms of site provisioning, what lists and libraries, columns, content types, basically all the tiles on the right here to evaluate. You need to see the solutions, what you are deploying, what features you're activating on the farm in your solutions, so you make a list of that. Not just list, but you see if they are transferable to SharePoint 2016. Because if there is a lot of server-side code, 16 is usually based mostly on client-side code, and you should convert your solutions. Depending on the solution, it might be easy, it might be hard, but this process must be done. There is no workaround. One thing that people forget is to clean the actual farm before migrating, because now we are talking about migration strategy, not a whole new platform from scratch. When you migrate your previous farm, you need to clean that farm. That means deactivate everything that is not necessary, clean up packages, solutions, farm solutions that are not necessary, even clean the content databases that I will mention later. So remove the content that is not used. That will minimize your migration efforts, and it will minimize the time that is needed for the migration. And the time is not little in most cases. So plan carefully. This here, I think, more or less, they're clear to everybody. I have categorized these boxes in colors based on the difficulty. So basically, now I will mention the blue ones means that they can be migrated fairly easily. The red ones are your problem areas where you need more effort to do change those. And then you have the green one, which are perfect. The green ones are easy. You change them, you update them. One consideration you can have for JavaScript is that you can start actually using the client-side object model in SharePoint and implement TypeScript as well. It offers you more flexibility. So that's one recommendation, because now we have started to base some of these practices. Site definitions, depending how complex they are, but usually they are not. So it's green. And the solution packages is your next problem here. Issues that we might encounter now, what I have encountered with migration and creating this proof of concepts for 2016. When migration is not used entirely on the site collections, that means that if you migrate site collections, then you must recreate them in 2016, move the content databases, and reattach them to 2016. If the site does not have huge customizations. Then in that case, you can attach, reattach, and apply upgrade PowerShell script, and you're done. But in cases when we have too many items stored in SharePoint, items in terms of actual data content that sometimes is in terabytes in large scenarios, then you have the problem. Why the problem? Because we have a limit of up to 30 million items per list. Actually, nobody's seeing that limitation because nobody uploads so many items in a single list, but even with less items, you have the throttle that is specified to the site collect, to the web application, and to the list that you must consider. So in some cases, these lists that are known like wide lists with a lot of items cause problems in the migration to fail. So in this case, in this problem area, there is this solution. You can check first with the command vet test SP database, content database, to see what error message you get. Then you will get the output flag there that will indicate that this is a wide list, and the resolution for this is to remove or decrease the content of this list. Remove items and remove content columns, basically known in SharePoint, that you don't need before upgrading. And this will minimize your effort, and then the next time you test the command vet, it will pass. So have in mind. But please don't store 30 million items in a SharePoint list. Please store like 5,000, 10,000, and then create a new library if you need more. It's easier for migration, for maintenance, or for every purpose, basically, because you have less data in one place. Content versions, I have mentioned these in the previous slide. Content version means that SharePoint is a document management system primarily that offers collaboration between users, teamwork that many people can work together in this platform. So in many documents that we work, we actually create content and then create another version and another version, and then after 1 week we have 15 versions of a content of one file. And imagine now that with 5,000 files, and imagine that with now 10 libraries, so we have a very huge number. This means here content versions, nobody checks this, usually. Everybody is too sure of the content and everybody wants to have the full versions in SharePoint. So please evaluate and review what content is not necessary, because the first draft version and the next 10 versions until you reach version 15 are not actually needed when you migrate content. Nobody will sit in the office and check, okay, let's see the history now of this file, what was done in 2010. Nobody cares. You will create a new file. But this means that you reduce the size of the library that you are migrating. We have a problem that we have not identified features and web part customizations. And I now think about the heavy customizations in SharePoint, not the light one that we can recompile and redeploy. Actually, that are dependent on too many things. There are huge changes in server-side code from 2013 to 2016, changes in event receivers, so you must evaluate this and determine what you have and what you actually need. Many customers want to migrate the SharePoint, but then when you ask, do you need everything? Ah, yes, we need everything, the whole farm, the whole every web application, all the sites, all the content. And then you find some web part that they don't know that exists but causes a ton of problems. And then you ask them, do you use this? Do you need this in the new farm, in the new 2016 version? Ah, no, we have not used that since 2013. So you remove that and then migrate, or get rid of what you can before migrating. When you cannot, then you have a full solution to redevelop, change DLLs, change the assemblies, remove the code that is doing the problems, or restructure the code, convert the code to client-side code. So you have solutions now. If we have managed to convert some crazy projects, I'm sure that you will convert everything else. And remove all the assemblies that are not in use and referenced in these solutions in SharePoint. I've mentioned the .NET version. Please upgrade your solutions, even if they're not SharePoint. So this is general .NET now tip from me. .NET 4.5 is out of end of life. Upgrade to new version. 4.6 at least, preferably 4.6.2, because that's the newer one. Then you can have 4.7 or maybe .NET Core if you can migrate your applications. So what do we backup and what do not we backup with what don't we? So basically, you need the content, you need the service applications. Those service applications have content, so you must migrate the content. One service application in particular that has content is the managed metadata service, which offers us flexibility in search, organization of content, structured navigation on the left, on the top, everywhere in the site, in the web application, in the site collections. So I don't think that anybody would recreate this term store. So the thing here is to migrate the content database, and this is part of my first demo, to see how to back to restore a content database for managed metadata service, attach it, connect it, and hopefully we won't have the demo effect where it doesn't work. This means that you can use entirely Microsoft Visual SQL Management Studio to perform these backup and restore operations. You get the flexibility with permissions. Yeah, you need to have permissions in order to do this. I will speak later about that. So this actually application is very easily transferable because managed metadata is not a complex one. It doesn't have a complex information, so it's easy. Service application databases that you need to backup also, so you need to transfer the database, are these business data connectivity, managed metadata, performance point. We have the search administration. With the search administration, we have actually one tip. It must be stopped first. The service must be stopped before detaching, reattaching, or moving the content data, the database, the service database. Then secure store service. And the last one, but not least important, is the user profile synchronization service, in which you need then to recreate a new connection at the end, when you are done migrating. So that's people expect this user profile application just to work, but it does not simply work because you need a new connection to the new server where this is hosted and to the database. This is not an empty slide. This is the most dreaded thing that everybody hates when we are actually doing work. Why? Because some people say it's too much time consuming, it's waste of time, it's waste of resources, it's waste of pretty much every reason you can think of. But that's actually yourself trying to find a reason why not to do this. And you're not doing only your job harder, you're doing everybody else's job harder when you're not doing this. And even more important, you're not doing any favor to future colleagues that will be employed in your company. So for legacy solutions, very old solutions that you have probably seen, where you open them and you see, okay, who has done this, how this was developed, you get stressed, you get frustrated. So just when you come to documentation, think how you feel when you don't have documentation for something. That's how the future people will feel when you do something without this. So this is a stress, it's not easy way, and you need to be very dedicated to produce this. However, here are the tips, what you need to document actually when you're setting up or migrating from one farm to the newer version, not only 16, maybe 19 in the future as well. Platform architecture, you must know the previous architecture of the platform, then you must determine and know the next platform, the next architecture of the platform of 2016. In my case, we have a lot of servers in 2013. In 2016, we have half the size. So the whole architecture is different. Because imagine 300 something servers, now imagine 150 or more. That's a huge difference. So this must be documented. Then we have migration changes. What you have actually changed to be supported in the new environment. This doesn't need to become a Bible where you describe every single thing you have clicked and changed, but it needs to offer enough guidance for the people. Environment setup. The new environment setup, PowerShell usually is used with this. 2016 also utilizes the use of DSC script, desired state configuration to set up SharePoint farm and environment, which actually means that you can automatically deploy configuration for servers very seamlessly. So imagine 150 servers, you don't go and deploy all of them. You run scripts on all physical servers and everything is deployed automatically. So you create it once, execute it 100 times. You never do anything else again. And the PowerShell configuration that must be stored. So this is not all. Now we cover every box here. In the first, in the architecture, we have the information architecture, list, libraries, content types, permissions for those. What is hosted in the site? Do we have external content? So this is the architecture of the actual information that is in SharePoint. Logical architecture, the number of servers, the logical paths to the web applications, the site collections, the other components that are hosted within the site collection, subsite pages, websites, all of that. And then we have the physical architecture, the actual physical servers, and I have connected here the search, which basically is part of the physical and logical architecture, but now in 2016, many companies has deployed separate search farms because not always in 2013 everybody had a separate search farm. So this must be planned with additional infrastructure effort to support the other farm and the applications. And the customizations in the changes, assemblies, old versions of code, or redone versions of code, so you must track the changes. Basically, any redesign that might happen here is documented in this part. Environment setup, you document everything. This is the most important thing, because when you document the new environment fully and completely, then the next time you migrate, why is this important? Because imagine then from 2016, you upgrade to 2019. So basically, when you document this, you will have the first step of the migration process to 2019. It will be done, because you have already documented how it is in 2016. So you might reuse it after 3 years, but you will reuse it nevertheless. And it will help everybody who is part of the migration project. Unfortunately, also for PowerShell. Everything should be considered. Many people, I know that you can Google every PowerShell command very easy, and you can find it. Actually, you can Google everything now. But I will tell you one funny situation. Last week, we lost some DNS server, and we couldn't resolve any names in the browser, so we could access by IP addresses, but not by names. So Google was unavailable. So imagine the frustration in people. So I was like, okay, you know, where are our books? We need to get out our books from the shelves. And there were no books because everybody is relying on Google or any search engine for far too long. So at least document this. You can. It's easy because you will document it step by step. And for every PowerShell, you will add a description like you add description in code when you're programming, developing solutions. So it's reusable. Actually, that's why the new term DevOps now has come to life. Basically, DevOps are the bridge between applications and this environment support with PowerShell and configuration. So this now is considered also a code that needs documenting. Be aware. You will help everybody in the world if you document this. This is the PowerShell and DSC that I have mentioned, desired state configuration. Okay, so let's see how the demo works now. This demo will show how to migrate a service application with the content from 2013-2016 with simple restore operation first in management SQL Management Studio. So let's start. I think you can see easily here. So I first go to the virtual machine that is a database server. Yeah, don't mind this. You see, I'm pinging, checking 10 times if there is connection between the machines. So let's see. So far, so good. I'm going to restore a database. So I must point out that it was a backup that was made from a database in 2013 for MMS, Managed Metadata Service. So now I'm looking for that file. I'm selecting that file, and I will restore it in this SQL. It is stored in another partition. And of course, it's Contoso. Everything is Contoso. If Contoso could speak. Okay. So now we have a database here. You can see it, which is read-only. Read-only means that now it's only for administrative tasks. It's not fully alive. It's not fully connected. So let's do this. Properties. Yes. Okay, options. So here, under state, we have database read-only. So now we disable this. What that means? Now the database becomes live, but it's not connected to SharePoint yet. So set to false. This will ask to change the properties. This will close all connections to the database. So this is also a dangerous command, because if there are work in progress to the application, it will drop. So this is fine now. It is online. We can access. We see tables. We see everything. So now I will go to the SharePoint server. In this SharePoint server, I will register now a new managed account. The information travels to Contoso, that's why it's so slow. Just remember the name of the database that you restored. Now this is Contoso MMS. Okay, this is the domain controller. It will be up shortly. It's the actual user. Actually, before registering a new managed account, you need to have the account in Active Directory in the Contoso domain created. I have already done this before. Let's try again. Now the domain controller was started. So this is one issue that you might face when you're registering a new SP managed account. There might not be connection between the domain controller and the SharePoint server, or it might be without trust. That's the second option. So if there is no trust between the servers, you cannot connect. Okay, so now we continue with the other commands. I need to recreate the application pool. I will reuse this command. I have defined a variable which will store the application pool, and now I will recreate the managed metadata service, hopefully today. And after I'm done with this, I will recreate the proxy group that will do the actual connection to the service application. And then we can actually click on that and hope that it shows information. See here that, where is it? Contoso MMS. Here, database name, Contoso MMS, the one database that I have now restored in SQL. Otherwise, you can always create a new service application without actual database. It will be created automatically, but no content. Okay, so we see it is created. Let's check now. This also should be started. Manage metadata service. Be sure of that. Okay, we have it. Let's see the upgrade and migration. One thing we can see that it's upgraded, when you go to upgrade and migration, we see information and then we see percentage completed. So this is 100% completed. That is good for us. So as this was upgrade operations, you should follow up on this step always, even for site collection updates. Okay, one more thing to see. If actually we have the content now in MMS, we see the service that we have created, Contoso Manage Metadata. And if now this works, because this can stack sometimes regardless of configuration and deployment. But let's see. We are lucky. So far, everything works. That's good. Now, this is the information that I have in the Manage Metadata. I have departments, and I have suppliers for Contoso that were added there as tags, keywords, however you would like terms, however you would like to call them. And this content now is in the database. I have attached the database to this service application, so this is how actually a migration of service application happened now. So this is the first, yes. We are talking for service applications, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's done automatically. It's magic. I'm joking. So basically, what we do, first you need to create a backup in the previous environment, 2013. Then that backup you restore in SQL 2016. When you restore it, it will be read-only. Then you make it connectable, online mode, to the database. And then you just recreate a new service application. So while recreating the service application, instead of specifying a new database, you are referencing the database you have just restored. And that's how it is connected directly to that database, assuming that the database is not damaged or corrupted by anything.
Right. This question comes from when you want to migrate content database.
Content database is in the next demo.
Yeah, but you have to perform any action. You have to launch a
Yes. That's an upgrade command in PowerShell. Yeah. That's an upgrade command for the site collection to attach the content. Otherwise, you can also use the simple attach detach attach method for the content database, actually, that I will show that. And when we restore that database, I will show you how you create a new web application and connect that web application to the content database, and then the site collections will be there. So that's the second part of the demo. This was for the, yeah, this is for the service applications. You can do that.
Can I upgrade the content, or I have to redo everything, every step in the process to do it?
Let me see if I got the question right. You want...
I will re-read. I have my content.
Yeah.
I want to migrate it two times. Twice.
Okay, twice. But then you need to disconnect the old one and reconnect the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's okay. Yeah,
okay.
It will work, unless you do some crazy changes.
Okay,
yeah, but it will work. So basically, yeah, that's like incremental upgrade of database. Yeah, that's possible, and you don't even, if it's the same name and everything in DSQL, you just don't need any SharePoint skills. It's a basic upgrade, incremental upgrade in SQL scenario. You can do that. You can specify that directly. Yeah, that's good. That has happened, actually, and that was a good question. I don't know if you should get t-shirt something. Next time we will have t-shirts for SharePoint ninjas. Okay. One demo down, one to go. So now I have one thing. I was inspired for this, actually, because before some years, I have never seen any governance model or guidelines or rules implemented on databases so that people follow up how they're created and administered and be careful what they do with them. So this is why I put this first sentence here. There is a trend of implementing better and better governance. I don't know the reason yet. Maybe people are more focused and want to ease their life with SharePoint. By the way, do you know what is the most dreaded platform on for 2016? They had a rating list with all possible platforms, programming languages, even admin stuff. So the most dreaded platform for 2016 in the world was SharePoint for some reason. But this is actually improving it. It's much different than 5 years ago. Now everybody is paying attention. But now people are concerned if every database is possible to migrate. What are the scenarios? Your question, I will upgrade your question actually for the content migration from 2010. Now a bit more complicated case. From 2010, actually, there is no upgrade scenario that is automatic. 2016, you go to 2013 first to the specific version. If you have Enterprise as SharePoint 2010, then you migrate to Enterprise 2013. But when you do that, you redo that for 2016 without any other effort. You execute the same commands again. So you cannot transfer directly. That's one upgrade. So every time when you do an upgrade for a database, you must remember to have this security admin server role on the SQL server. If not you, then the SQL administrator. You must be DB owner on the database, and you must be member in the farm administrators for SharePoint so that you can do SharePoint database. And this is one question, don't worry. Every application will get a database. Everybody gets a database, so it's fine. Now, for the preparation effort, we continue now with more details. Actually, when we want to execute this upgrade scenario, there are tasks that we need to follow. Document the configuration settings, we have covered that. We have all agreed that it's very important. Extract security keys for service applications that are not automatic. Security keys are not extracted automatically in no possible migration scenario or upgrade scenario. So these keys must be done manually. You do that manually. First is for the secure store service. The first line of green should go below secure store service passphrase. The second one should go under user profile encryption key. Good news is that for the first one, if you forget it, you can reset it if you don't remember it. But the task is like this. You get the identity integration server key, the one that you put. What is that? Basically, it's this secure store service has a mini encrypted database inside to store everything that you put, credentials, additional credentials. So it's encrypted by the passphrase. You extract that, and then you import it to Microsoft Identity Manager 2016. Easy as that. And then it will work. For the user profile encryption key, this is for the profile service application, you extract it. And at the end, when it's done, you change the user profile sync connection because it will target a new system. So these two steps need to be done for these two service applications. Nobody pays attention to service application, but the service application is like 30% of the actual architecture of the system. If you do good service application or enterprise service farm, and other farms utilize those service applications so you don't have double service application and waste of resources, then your lives will be easier. The backup we have covered. Task to execute on the SharePoint server, install new server. Yeah, everybody should be professional in installing Windows and servers now. And configure the settings. Settings for, yes?
If you back up the service application using PowerShell.
Okay.
For
the service application, if you want to backup, you backup the content database. Otherwise, with PowerShell, you just recreate a new instance, and then you link the database. That's all. You don't have content. You have configuration for them. Or content maybe for MMS, but it's still configuration.
But you can backup from PowerShell command
and... Yes, of course. Yes, yes, of course. Yes, the extraction is done separately. The database has nothing with the encryption keys. Those must be done in a separate step. Because imagine if you backup that and you have a very secure credentials and somebody runs the backup and restores, then they have everything. It cannot work like that. Yeah, with PowerShell. Everything is, but the SharePoint management shell, which is basically the same modules which you can import to normal PowerShell. And some farm settings that you need to configure, the farm security, strengthening the security, file types that are allowed, not allowed, quotas for size, and so on. Email settings, yes, you want to get notified when something is changed in SharePoint, so all that is important. And what to consider about the databases further. Now we are covering databases in general. We are not simply talking about service application because we will do other migration. When we create the web application that we need in 2016, we must match the configuration of the web application to 2013. So it's not just recreating like the service application. So we must map the paths, quotas for size, how much size it gets every service application, because imagine one user uses 2 terabytes and another user uses 2 gigabytes. It's not proportional, so you must control the quotas always. And now in 2016, you have media support for everything, so you can turn SharePoint into media video library, movie library. Don't do that. And email settings, self-service site creation basically is based on the my sites and the manage path, how you can reach my site, so this is important. Manage path, yeah, there, and the policies for security and users, who can access what. Is it anonymous, is it not? Do we have another? We can also migrate and consider the authentication providers, but that's a very advanced scenario. If the user is not available, you have always a secondary administrator that can retrieve everything.
Oh, sorry, the user that uploads the content.
Yeah.
Who is the user when you migrate? Still
You don't migrate the user. You can, it will, that's in the Active Directory. You just link to the users in, to the user accounts in Active Directory. You don't need to migrate that. And if you're worried if the user is alive or not or doesn't work anymore, then the site collection administrator can access everything. Yeah, so that's, and that's why the practice is good to put two site collection administrators exactly for these purposes. There should be separate SharePoint admins, because sometimes sites are created specifically for project, but that's not a good case. There should be official IT person who is administering this. Usually operations are gods in this case. One back. This one, I forgot to mention. Yeah, the commands to test on the SharePoint farm. Actually, when you see if the content database is okay, verifies customizations if they're inside, and mount SP content database, which will attach with PowerShell. We will do this in the demo. What nobody considers, and this is from my experience, is that customized server settings per server. You might have customized web front-end servers that are different in internal environment and in external environment, which is highly secured with certificates. Different farm settings in both, so please remember to document those and redo them in the new platform. Custom IIS applications, basically the IIS application websites for provider hosted add-ons, for whatever you install in the IIS, you need to document the application pool, but not the name of the application pool, but the user actually that is running the application pools. That sometimes same accounts are reused for application pools. That means service accounts. So you must ensure that you have configured a service account for the application pool. You never leave default account to run everything or account with administrative privileges. That's a huge security issue. In a big company, if you do a penetration test, that's chaos. So don't do that. So you always select the user with at least administrative privileges. Then you must be aware of the URLs that you are going to use. Why? Because in your previous farm, some application might have been contoso.sharepoint.com. You cannot reuse the same DNS in the new one because the old farm is still not discontinued. People are still working on that until the migration is done. So you need a new entry, new URL, new host header for the address. Sometimes it causes conflicts. And in model tokenization, you must parameterize the web config file for everything, and you must change new certificate thumbprints for that to update the uptrust and so on, DNS entries or load balancing entries that will direct the user requests to the farm, to the web front-end servers. Custom port actually to a database are highly important because you shouldn't use the default port. That's completely security violation because everybody knows the database port. And sometimes search reconfiguration is necessary. And if you want to implement a proper governance model, which I highly support, is to apply application lifecycle management through TFS for building and deploying solutions automatically to SharePoint and implement a proper governance model for managing these tasks of deploying and automation. Basically, it's called BND, Build and Deployment Automation. So this is a complete new area, but if you go to Visual Studio ALM or TFS 2017, which is now better, you will see step by step how this is done. Maybe you will waste one day or two, but it's perfect. You must use this. Your friend will be the log when everything goes wrong. So when everything goes wrong, first you go with the mini version of the log, what you can find in web server extensions or event viewer. And the big brother version of the log is the full ULS log, where you have all needed and unneeded information which you need to filter. But you get all relevant information, what is useful to troubleshoot why something failed here. It helped every time. It's simply not possible not to identify a cause of issue. The only problem is to identify the specific timeline when the error occurred. That's the big problem of 1 million entries. But this is used. And then beyond that, you can use the upgrade status that I've shown you, how to see if the upgrade is done, check against the inventory if you have everything that you have wanted to migrate, check services. You can also check servers if you have the right amount of servers. Maybe you got a complete new hardware, but you forgot to commission some servers, so it's very important to have the server names for that. Check farm configuration, web application, services configuration as well in the farm. All of this I'm repeating now, so I hope that you will remember all of this. Good morning. And now the demo 2 should help us understand this content migration in the database, how it works. So I will do this hopefully quicker. So I go back to the database again. Now I restore a content database. Wrong command. And this database will be for Contoso Research. How you can identify if it's a content database? Usually the content database have WSS, and that name should be used when you're creating the file. So we are following a naming convention for this. When you create a new web application, it asks which content database to use. So you can use this one. You need to perform the same steps to bring it online. Successfully. You see now at the bottom that it's in read-only mode, and you can say also that it's gray, so it's not accessible. And let's bring it online. False. Yes. For SharePoint, they should add an extra menu item. Yes, please, when something goes wrong. OK, so this is done. So two things now that are required for this. First thing is now when you create a new web application, you want to have a host name, host header, that will be accessible. So in this case, I have created a web application. I will show you now which one. And I will show you how to map the host header. See the web applications that I have. Now I have research.contoso.com. This research.contoso.com has not magically connected to the DNS name. I have done this in the domain controller in the DNS for Contoso, and I have added a forward in the forward lookup zone for Contoso a record that is research. And I have bind research.contoso.com to this IP address. So this is how the IP address is resolved into a fully qualified domain name. And when we have that, we will recreate now the web application with all these parameters and the database, which I have already done to save the time because it needs 5 minutes. I have also created the service application, the manage accounts that are in need for this web application. So now we can just test what's happening here. I will execute this command to test the ESP content database. You see WSS research Contoso. Okay, missing setup file is good. Now I will mount the database, what you asked here. If this works, everything works. So let's see, 23%, no, 2.3 per, 23, okay. And one more thing that might be important at the end is to add the credential that will be the administrator to the new web application. So let's see how fast this goes. 94. But this is very small database. Calculate this process carefully when you're migrating terabytes or gigabytes of data. And it also, you must consider the network speed between servers. Please use 10 gigabit connection, optical connection between servers. Okay, while this is executing, it goes slow. I don't have optical connection. So while we are waiting on this, I will continue with the last slide and we will get back to the demo. This is the business continuity part that we must have in mind. Now here, please do not upgrade a faulty farm, misconfigured farm, or if you want to upgrade farm with problems just to get rid of 2013, that's a problem. It's like putting your problem under the carpet, so you're migrating your problems as well. This is highly not required. Plan for buffer time. Buffer time means, for example, now this is a good case. Buffer time for restoring the database because it's going slow. But in your case, you can plan buffer time for restoring for the whole migration process, because if you say the project will last 1 month and it lasts 2 months, usually customers don't pay for your bad estimation. So put buffer. The core business must run, so there is no point of saying that you must ensure that the services are available while you are migrating. Everything must be available. You must have a schedule and inform affected projects department when you actually try to migrate, usually after work. And not only after work, usually after midnight in some cases when people work overtime. You must ensure with the business continuity that you have a high availability environment, that you are disaster-free, disaster recovery in place, and this disaster recovery in place is with the time object. And these are the time estimates, RTO and RPO, that you estimate how much maximum time you need in case a disaster occurs. So what's the absolutely necessary time for recovery? And then you have the other one where you measure the relative amount of time. So actually this means how much downtime you are predicting. You must do this very carefully. Otherwise, you might end up with downtime of 1 day, and some businesses, this can cost millions. And governance and patching and backups. In 2016, you have zero patching time for this. You know that from the previous sessions, this slide is the same. We will have the raffle at the end, so please stay until the end. Have all signatures from all the sponsors, and we thank the sponsors very much for this conference because they offered a great support for making this day happen, and we hope to see more next year in Madrid as well. This is a perfect, very nice conference and very nice people. Perfect audience, so thanks to the audience as well. If you watch Game of Thrones, you know what this means. New season starts next month. Here are our platinum sponsors, gold sponsors, and silver sponsors, and collaborate bronze partners. Many thanks to them for helping this conference. Thank you also for your attention. I'm sure that the migration of the content database is done. If you have any questions, please we can discuss now, because I think the time is over, and we can continue the discussion outside if you like to ask me some questions in your possible scenarios. So, gracias por su atención. Thank you very much. So I hope you will have successful projects in the future.